turning your Bible to the third chapter of John and the 13th verse. No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man who is in heaven. So when you open the Gospel of John, you have to see that the Lord Jesus Christ has become the Lamb of God who beareth away the sin of the world. And as he said in the second chapter, destroy this temple, my body, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. And then you have to see him as the crucified, buried, raised, and ascended Lord. No man has ascended heaven at any time, except the Son of Man who came down from heaven, who also is in heaven. Now notice his statement in John 6:62. John 6:62. What? And if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before. He said in the 6th chapter of John, I came down from heaven. If we had time here to have a testimony, we might have about 30 or 40 different states represented here. You say, I came from such a state. We might have 6 or 7 different nations. But isn't anybody who could say, I came down from heaven? The only person, human being, who ever said truthfully, I came down from heaven, was the same one who went back to heaven. Notice the 13th chapter of John. In the 13th chapter of John, we begin at the first verse. Notice, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come. You remember what Peter said to the resurrected Christ? Thou knowest all things. The woman at the well said, when Messiah comes, he will tell us all things. Now the Lord Jesus Christ was omniscient. We read in the 2nd chapter of John that he did not have need that anyone should tell him what was on the inside of man. He knew man. He knew all things. Now he said that he knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. Having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Third verse, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. Now we read in the Bible that heaven is God's throne and the earth is his footstool. God is definitely located, though he's omnipresent as a person, he's definitely located on a heavenly throne, and it's not one of the planets, none of the planets. We've heard a great deal about space and about the experiments with the satellite, but there was a time when there was no such thing as space. The only uncreated thing that we have is the throne of God. And that throne was also the throne of Christ. For the Father said to the Son, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. In Hebrews 1:8, the Father said that to the Son. So the Son said, I came down from God, and I'm going back to God. I came down from heaven, I'm going back to heaven. In the 20th chapter of John, the 17th verse, you have this statement. Jesus said unto her, touch me not. After he was raised from the dead. For I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Now as to the past and the present and the future of what is going on in heaven, you remember the story of the lost coin, the lost sheep and the lost boy in the 15th chapter of Luke. If you have your Bible, will you turn there to the 15th chapter of the book of Luke? And notice, in the 15th chapter of the book of Luke, first we read in the 7th verse, I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Now the 10th verse. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels. Now it didn't say it's joy by the angels, it's in the presence of the angels. Of God over one sinner that repenteth. There are angels in glory. God hasn't given us a full picture of what we might see if heaven was open to us. But if you're in here unsaved this morning, there's one thing you can be assured of. If you will receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, there'll be joy among the angels in heaven, in the presence of the angels. And your name will be written in heaven. And you'll be raised up and be made to sit together in the heavenlies in Christ. Now let's turn to the 24th chapter of Luke. In the 24th chapter of Luke, that's the last chapter of Luke, we read, beginning here, notice, in the 36th verse, Christ had been raised from the dead, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. Now we're told in the 9th chapter of Hebrews, the 12th verse, that by his own blood, Jesus Christ entered once into heaven, having obtained eternal life for us. He had a body, a resurrection body, a glorified body of flesh and bone. And notice what happened in the 50th verse. And he led them as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem. Very much the same statement is made in the 16th of Mark, the 19th verse. But a little additional truth there. After he'd given the part of the Great Commission, so-called, it is said in Mark 16:19, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Now I want to tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't stop at the moon. He didn't stop to look at Venus or Jupiter or any of the planets. We're told in Colossians, the first chapter, that he created all of those things. He knew all about them. Our people have known about the moon for centuries, that it's a mass of corruption. And the only beauty about the moon is the light that it gets from the sun. The moon is a type of the human race, a mass of corruption. And the only light and beauty that any human being has is the light from Jesus Christ, the Son of Righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're told 14 times in the Bible that he ascended up to heaven. Now let's get another picture of heaven. In the last book of the Bible, in the 5th chapter of Revelation. In the 5th chapter of Revelation, the Apostle John, about the year 92, was on the Isle of Patmos. He was there as a prisoner of the Lord, in a sense, there for his testimony. And he says in the 6th verse, I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain. And the 9th verse, they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by blood, thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands upon thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Now many of us heard our president this week, and his subject was danger ahead. We didn't have to get that message from the president. We didn't have to get it because of what they're doing in Russia. The danger that's ahead is told us in the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And God tells us that not one jot or tittle shall pass away until all is fulfilled. Now notice what's going to happen according to the 12th chapter of Hebrews. In the 24th verse, or the 25th verse, See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. He had to go to the cross. He had to die. That was inevitable. It was determined before by the counsel of God. And Jesus Christ was not the helpless victim of circumstances. He was not a martyr who came to an untimely end. He didn't die 1 second before his time or 1 moment after his time. And before he died, he said, If you sin against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven you. But after I'm raised from the dead, if you sin against the Holy Spirit who will be sent down from heaven, he'll never be forgiven. And here's the picture, and it's coming. I don't know whether you read the editorial, the message by the London editor of one of the leading newspapers, quoted this Friday. He said, Personally, I have no interest in inhabiting any of the other planets because I don't believe any of them are inhabited. He said, The thing that is of deep concern to me is how long are we going to inhabit this planet we're here on? He said, It doesn't look like we're going to be very much longer on this planet. Well, this is the way it's going to end. Listen what God says. Whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Now, we don't have to have a dog going up in a Sputnik. We don't have to have a satellite sent up by the Russians or by this country to find that out. And one of our scientists said yesterday over the television, he said these experiments with the satellites may be a wonderful thing, may be a revelation. We may learn much more about creation. He said we may even learn of the mysteries of life and death. Of course, he'd like to look somewhere else except in the Bible. After that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You can never find out God by searching. You can find about him in creation, but you can never find God until you find him at the cross of Calvary. For no man can come unto the Father except by the Son, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And in the 16th chapter of Luke, we have a very important statement. You remember what was said there? If they believed not the prophets of God with the word of God, they would not believe though one were raised from the dead. No matter whether or not they land on the moon or discover some of the secrets of the planet, that'll never help them to be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ created all of those things, and he said, I'm going to ascend up where I was before. Turn to the 4th chapter of the book of Ephesians, if you will, and see what we read in this wonderful, wonderful chapter here, the 4th chapter of the book of Ephesians. In the 7th verse, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led many captives captive. Or he led captivity captive. That's explained in the 1st chapter, if you'll notice, in the 20th and the 21st verse, the power of God which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him in his own right hand in the heavenlies, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named not only in this world but also in that which is to come. Special reference there is to the principalities and powers in under the control of Satan. And as I said last Sunday, everything that's being done in Russia by all the leaders and the leaders themselves are under 100% control of Satan. And only the Holy Spirit of God is holding civilization together. But God works all things after the counsel of his own will. Satan is powerful, but God is all powerful. Satan can go so far and God can stop him. And God's deterrent today is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And today when the church is needed as a shining light in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, it's torn asunder by over 200 different sects with modernism and ritualism and fanaticism all over the country today. Disunity, division, modernism, what's going on today? God has only one shining light today, and that's the true church of the living God, the body of Christ and the members who are set to be in this world shining lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Now notice what he did. Now he, not that he ascended, what is it, but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heaven. He's far above all heaven. That's way up above all of the planets, some of which are millions and millions of miles away from the earth. And in God's creation, this earth is a little speck. But the human race here is the most important thing in God's creation. And the most important thing in the mind of God is to get men out of Adam into Christ and to get them saved by His infinite, matchless grace. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God will have all men to be saved. He's extending the day of grace, working all things after the counsel of His own will, until every member of the body of Christ has been brought in. Then in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, talk about supersonic speed. Talk about traveling 6,000 miles a minute, 10,000 miles a second. The Lord Jesus Christ went millions of miles in less than a second. And He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high when He had purged sin. And He gave gifts unto men, notice here. He gave some apostles. There are no more apostles. Never been an apostle since John died. The teaching of apostolic succession is the devil's lie. No apostle ever lived. An apostle had to be one who personally saw Jesus Christ. That's a qualification for an apostle. Now there, a prophet had a twofold duty, to foretell and to foretell. We have no foretelling prophets today. Men of God, before we had the Bible, the Holy Spirit came upon them to tell events that were going to take place. You don't need that now because everything that's going to take place is in the Bible. And you don't need a foretelling prophet. What we need is foretelling prophets who tell the truth concerning the prophecies in the Bible. We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto we do well that we take heed as the light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in our hearts. And He gave some to be evangelists and some to be pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ till we all come in the unity of the faith. These are the gifts that God gave unto men. If a man is a pastor, God has given him the gift of teaching. And every minister of Christ who is a pastor is a steward of the mysteries of God. And if he doesn't know the stewards of the mysteries of God, he has no right to be a pastor. He should resign as pastor and be an evangelist or a soul winner, but not a pastor and a teacher. 9/10 of the New Testament, as we call the scripture, is not preached to a sinner, but it's teaching to saints. I told you about I was preaching at Kingsburg, California. I was teaching from the chart for the Swedish people out there. And I was invited to spend the night out at what they call one of the grape ranches. And the Swede said to me in broken language, he said, since you've been here this more than a week, he said, I've learned something. I learned that what the church needs is less preach and more teach. I said, I learned that a long time ago. What the church needs today is less preach and more teach. We need to be taught the Word of God. We need to believe the Word of God. We need to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed. Now will you turn, as we close, to the third chapter of Colossians. The third chapter of Colossians. This is a wonderful statement here. We read in the third chapter of Philippians, right before we get to Colossians, in the 21st verse, the 20th verse, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you are saved, your citizenship is in heaven, not in Chicago. You're sojourning here, but your citizenship is in heaven. And you're to look for the Lord Jesus, who shall change these bodies of humiliation, that they may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Now if our citizenship is in heaven, then we ought to obey Colossians 3:1. Now remember where Christ is. Right above us are the principalities and powers of Satan. Above that are the planets, the creation of God. And far above that is the throne of God, where Jesus Christ is sitting down, where he ever lives to make intercession for everyone who's saved. And he's going to leave that throne someday, and he's coming down here to take an earthly throne, and he's going to bring about the kingdom of heaven that's foretold so many times in the Bible. And there's no hope for peace on this earth until the Prince of Peace sits on the throne of David with the government on his shoulder. With all the confusion, just think of the predicament we're in and think of the politics that's being played today. They're not thinking about bringing peace. They're thinking about who's going to be the next president, what Congress they're going to get in, what parties they're going to get in. Torn asunder. When we think of our ally, France and England and the United States, and all the delegates from France walked out of the meeting on Friday. Wouldn't have any dealings with America and London. What condition the world's in today? If there was ever a time, my dear friend, to keep your mind upon things that are above. There are affections there this day in which we live. Looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God our Savior. Listen. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Not the moon. Not what they're going to do there. Far above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Where he's sitting on the right hand of God. Every day think about it. Every hour think about it. The man that died on the cross for you. He's been raised to the highest praise, far above all principalities and power, far above all heaven. There he's the living, glorified man. And God's working all things after the counsel of his own will. And as Paul says, I plant and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Neither he that planteth nor he that watereth is anything but God that giveth the increase. Remember that at best we're only unprofitable servants. And with Paul, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I am crucified unto the world.